Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and thank you for standing by. Welcome to the Euskaltel first quarter 2019 results presentation. The management of Euskaltel will run you through the presentation materials that can be found at Euskaltel's website, which will be followed by a Q&A session. You can ask a question by phone by pressing 01 on your telephone keypad. You can also send your questions through the webcast platform at any time during the presentation. I am now pleased to introduce Mr. Francisco Arteche, CEO of Euskaltel. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you very much, and good afternoon, everyone. Good morning to those joining from the U.S. Welcome to the presentation of our first quarter 2019 results. I'm Francisco Arteche, CEO of Euskaltel, and I'm here together with our CFO, Jonander de las Fuentes, as well as Aitor Marcaida, our CCO. I would like, first of all, to share that our first shareholder, Zegona, has rejoined since yesterday the board of directors, and we're very pleased to welcome Mr. José Miguel García as a representative proprietary director. We're sure that his deep knowledge of the Spanish market will be valuable to help management under current challenging market conditions and deliver an attractive and value-creative strategy for our shareholders. We are here today to help you all understand how our business is performing within the current competitive environment, which is taking place in the Spanish telecom industry. I will talk later more in depth about this fact. Euskaltel Group has well-recognized brands that are helping us reach our expansion targets in line with expectation, and that is a clear highlight that we bring today to the table. Our group has maintained its strong market shares in the Basque Country, in Galicia, and in Asturias. However, aggressive competitive pressure around us is preventing us from reaching our target of ARPU, and this has resulted in a soft first quarter in terms of residential revenue, as I flagged in previous calls. These will show an improving ramp through the year, particularly in the second half of the year. I'm also happy to share that all the hard work that our teams have been dedicating to the B2B segment is finally consolidated in significant customer and revenue growth. On the cost side, as I have previously anticipated to the market, this year will be a transition year, with the operating results of the first quarter receiving the impact of most of the efforts we're implementing: opening of new markets, transformational projects, changes in customer care, and yet few returns in the form of additional revenue of relevant savings. I would also like to highlight a couple of relevant steps we have given during this first quarter of the year that will contribute to make our group more efficient and sustainable. Last March, we received unanimous backing from financial institutions to refinance our debt and therefore go ahead with our strategic plan and assure the company's future growth. We improved the terms of external debt financing to reach an average cost of 2.58%, as well as extended the average life of the debt to 2024. Secondly, also in March, we announced an agreement with MásMóvil and Dominion for the creation of MedBuying, a central purchasing company for mobile assets, routers, and other equipment, which will give us higher scale and purchasing power. Therefore, the first quarter of 2019 cannot be taken as a reference of the global performance we expect for the full year. But let us give you more color as we go through the slides. Afterwards, we'll host the Q&A session. So let me now start with the presentation on page number 3. I will start the review of the current status of our strategic plan. As you can see, we have been able to reach positive progress in all 4 pillars. First of all, our aim of providing the best customer experience while keeping our leadership in residential. As of today, we're the leading operator in Net Promoter Score in our 3 markets. In fact, we're the only operator that shows positive enhanced Net Promoter Score in the 3 territories. We've reinforced our leadership in customer satisfaction, especially regarding our customer service and technical support. I would like to underline that this is a must, given especially the aggressive competition we are experiencing, mainly coming from Vodafone. It is a fact that the Spanish market is decelerating, and I'm referring to the latest available data from Q4 2018 that says that the joint revenues from all the players fell 1.5% yearly, despite the increase in lines of between a 3 and a 4%, which implies that ARPUs are basically decreasing. In this context, I think it is extremely important to guarantee the best service and quality to our customers in order to reinforce their loyalty. As shown in our last surveys, the 4K Android TV set-top box has a relevant positive impact in the satisfaction and loyalty of its users. It's helping to reduce churn in a significant way. The second pillar of our strategy, which focuses on the B2B revenue, is evolving positively as expected. Our total business revenue grew around 1% year-on-year, mainly driven, as anticipated, by the good evolution of SMEs and large accounts. Regarding these customers and the cloud service we offer to them, I would like to point out that we have been the first operator in Europe to work jointly with VMware to install a DRaaS, a disaster recovery as a service recovery system, which is putting us at the forefront of the advanced security systems. It's a business that is related to cloud that is currently growing at an 11% growth rate for the group. Referring to SOHO, as we pointed out in our last results presentation, we launched a new offer and commercial strategy for SOHO. And as a result of that new strategy, the number of SOHO customers on SOHO ARPU stabilized during the quarter after years of decline. And finally, concerning the simplification, platform integration, and digitalization plans, we found ourselves in the bulk of the project. One of the first and most critical tasks in the migration of the CRM and call center systems. Our cable is close to completing, while Euskaltel and Telecable are still in the process to convert to a single system platform. The return of the project in form of efficiencies will be relevant by the end of the year. I've intentionally left the expansion as the last point because this has been where we've concentrated our main efforts during this quarter. We're very happy with our results so far, and we feel very confident with the perspectives. So let me review this pillar more deeply on slide number 4. Since we first announced our intention of expanding our presence beyond our traditional boundaries last November 2017, at our first investor day, we have progressively improved both our performance and our targets. We first communicated our aim of entering Navarra, La Rioja, León, and Cantabria, all of them closed markets that are welcoming our brands openly and value the offer we are proposing to them. Later, in December 2018, we shared with you the agreement we had reached with RAC Club in Catalunya to broaden the mobile services we were already offering to their members in a full convergent offer. And lastly, a couple of weeks ago, we conveyed to the market a new strategic alliance signed with the group MediaMark in order to market our products and services throughout their 87 stores located all over the country, starting this June. All in, we can today speak of 1 million euro revenue coming already from these new areas, and those will be 10 million euros by the end of the year, thanks to the fact that the ARPU in these regions is evolving better than expected at the beginning of the plan. In terms of penetration, we have been able to reach as much as 10% level in some of the areas we have entered. In this first month of expansion, we have increased our previous footprint by more than 30%. And in terms of potential households, our agreement with Orange gives us access to more than 10 million homes passed, which means that once we prove to be successful in the coming months, we could easily increase our target of 90,000 new customers by 2022. After zooming into the most important highlights of the quarter, I will give you more color on the operating performance of the business. So if you turn to page 6, I'd like to give some granularity of the growth in net adds achieved during the quarter. Analyzing the growth per quarter in the chart of the left, you can see that we've been able to reach the first quarter of 2019 with more than 3 times the growth we attained during the full year 2018. Obviously, our first steps out of our traditional regions have a lot to do with this good performance, which is some competition at home, or the competition at home has been particularly fierce, also not enough to impact our market share significantly. As I said before, our brands are valued by the market, and that is what makes our customer base so resilient. On the next slide, I would like to speak not only about number of customers, but also about the RGUs. So if you move to page 7, we show the continued good performance of the RGU evolution in the first quarter, which is a result of our bundling and upselling strategy. Our 3P, 4P penetration remains in sector high levels, with 70.3% of our subscribers on 3P and 4P bundles. As a result, we ended the quarter reaching all-time high penetration in every single product category. Broadband subs as a percentage of total subs grew during the period to 86.8%, around 140 basis points versus last year. We reached a record high this quarter with more than 500,000 subs in broadband. TV penetration also increased during the first 3 months to 73.5%, growing TV RGUs by more than 7,000 up to 424,000. Our advanced 4K Android set-top box that was launched during 2017 is also clearly helping us make our TV offer much more attractive. During 2018, we improved our TV experience by integrating Netflix and Amazon Prime Video in that set-top box, and we are definitely seeing how it is evolving strongly in usage and satisfaction. And then with regards to mobile, we added more than 12,000 lines in the quarter to reach 970,000 lines, moving mobile penetration amongst our fixed subscribers to up to 82%. So all in, we can speak today of 3.7 RGUs per customer versus 3.5 in December 2017. Moving to the next slide, number 8, I would like to share my thoughts about the B2B segment. The business division represents 1/3 of our total revenue, and we have great opportunities thanks to the strength of our brands compared to our competitors. Both large accounts and SMEs do appreciate the closeness and attention that our company is offering them. Last year, we managed to finally change the negative trend seen during the last years, and this first quarter, the trend is further improving. As you can see in the different charts, SME and large accounts revenue grew around 5% in the year, whereas SOHO segment saw for the first time in quarters its ARPU growing and its customers stabilized versus the last quarter. I will now give the word to Yonander for him to give you the main financial figures of this period. Yonander.
Thank you, Patin. I will start with the top line evolution in the year on page 10. Before starting, I would like to clarify that 2019 figures have been calculated under new accounting IFRS 16. I will remark which items have been impacted by this new regulation. Our revenue in the period reached 172 million euros, representing a decrease of 2.8% year over year. This is broken down as follows. A negative yearly evolution of the residential revenue of 1.8%, an improvement versus the fall of more than 3% we show in full year 2018. This reduction year on year is mainly explained by a tougher competitive environment that caused ARPU to decrease. The fact that our customer base was stabilized and that our expansion plans, as explained by Pachi, were better than expected, were not enough to offset the aggressive behavior of the market. Again, B2B revenue was the positive segment of the quarter. Not much to add to what Pachi said before, which is summarized into a progressively better evolution of the three elements that build our business proposition, SMEs, large accounts, and SOHO. And finally, referring to wholesale and other revenue, it's important that you understand that this quarter the figures are negatively impacted by a couple of elements non-comparable to last year. On one side, 1.8 million euros related to the recognition of IFRS 15, and on the other, after the sale at the end of last year of our subsidiary Thinfo, we do not have this year that revenue will reach in the quarter 0.7 million euros. On slide 11, we can see how all those aspects of the business have their impact on the EBITDA. As we have already pointed out, there are several negative effects dragging the operating results. First of all, the aggressive competitive pressure around us that caused ARPU to decrease, dragging the residential revenue down by more than 2 million euros. This aggressiveness also had its effect in our SOHO segment, where the reduction of average customers year on year impacted negatively the revenue. Secondly, we already said that our expansion plan could have at the beginning its burden into the EBITDA, since the opening of three new regions during the quarter increased temporarily the commercial expenses by more than 1 million euros in the quarter. On the other hand, the savings coming from the transformational plan were not enough to offset the negative evolution of the revenue, resulting in a lower EBITDA and EBITDA margin than a year ago. As we have mentioned previously, the most relevant savings resulting from the transformational plan will arrive later this year. And lastly, the EBITDA of the quarter was impacted by the effects of the new accounting rules. One of them was the implementation of IFRS 16, which had a positive effect of 2.4 million euros. The other was due to the acceleration of the promotional activity that had a comparison of 1.8 million euros in the quarter due to the IFRS, a negative comparison of 1.8 million in the quarter due to the IFRS 15. All in, the EBITDA we show this first half of 2019 cannot be taken as a reference of the global performance we expect for the full year. On page 12, you can find some charts that explain the evolution of our CAPEX and operating cash flow. Total CAPEX in the quarter amounted to 34.6 million euros or 20.2% of revenue, as expected, and slightly above 20% due to the expansion and integration plan we were developing during 2018 and 2019. We incurred, as planned, in 4.8 million euros in the year for integration and expansion plans, confirming the feasibility of our low CAPEX strategy in expansion. Regarding operating cash flow, we maintain the ability to reach over 30% of operating cash flow over revenues if we don't take into account the impact of the integration and expansion plans. And additionally, according to our sustainable shareholders remuneration policy, we distribute a first dividend in February of 14 euro cents per share or 25 million euros, thus leaving net debt at 1,567 million euros at 31st March 2019. And now let me give the word to Patxi to wrap up the presentation.
Thank you very much, Yonander. So, as we acknowledge, 2019 is being a transition year. We are in the mid of our expansion and integration plans that will require effort and time to pay off, but they will bear fruits later this year. We knew in advance that this first quarter of 2019 would be the toughest quarter of the year. It is true that the competitive environment did make it even tougher, but we still have to enjoy the growing positive impact of the transformational plans we're putting in place. Up to date, we haven't seen meaningful changes in the competitive environment, so we expect the second quarter to be in line with the first one in financial terms. We are tightly focused on ensuring that the second half of the year delivers a recovery in revenue, and most importantly, that we see material benefit from our cost-saving initiatives during the second part of the year. So thank you for your attention, and let's now switch to the Q&A.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Q&A session starts now. If you wish to ask a question, please press 01 on your telephone keypad. You can also send your questions through the webcast platform. Questions by phone will be answered first. Thank you. The first question comes from Akhil Dattani from JP Morgan. Please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon. Thanks for taking the questions. I've got a few, please. The first was just I wanted to clarify the specific impact you've seen from your expansion plans. I guess in the past quarter or two, you've broken out the net adds on the organic footprint and expansion. So maybe if you could give a similar color here. that would be helpful. The second is, you said just at the very end of your presentation that you expect Q2 to be similar to Q1 on financials. I guess I'm just keen to understand exactly what you mean by that. Are we talking in absolute terms? Are we talking about the rate of decline in residential? Are we talking about ARPU? So just a bit of color. And I guess particularly keen on the commentary around ARPU trends into Q2, given what you've just talked about in terms of competitive pressures into Q1. And then the third thing, I guess, as a much bigger picture point, you obviously talked about Zegona's return to the board, which you're very happy to see, and obviously Jose Miguel joining. I mean, in terms of what that means from here, are there any particular plans in place now as part of that change that they've made to their board representation in terms of action plans and processes from here? Thanks a lot.
Thank you, Akhil. So first of all, regarding the impact of the expansion plans, what you are going to see throughout the year, so first of all, we will report from now on the combined total number in terms of net adds, because we think that's the main number that is representative of the company's performance. I think what you will be seeing from now on, month after month and quarter after quarter, is that there is going to be an acceleration in terms of the impact of expansion. You have to realize that until the month of February, there was only Navarra basically contributing with numbers. The month of March, we had the first numbers coming in from RAC and the other regions. That means that you could expect that a Q2 number will more than double the Q1 in terms of the contribution of expansion, and from there on, increases will be very significant. So remember, a lot of the new expansion has had like the very first month impacting this quarter. Regarding to the Q2 similar to Q1, I think I'm referring to absolute terms. I think what you will see in Q2 is a significant improvement in terms of cash flow versus the first quarter, and we'll probably see some trends in terms of some of the ARPUs that get a better behavior from what we're seeing at the beginning of April. Going into your question about Zegona, I think, first of all, I think it's good news that Zegona is joining or rejoining the board, in this case, in the person of Jose Miguel Garcia, because we've had more than 6 months of absence, and that has caused certain levels of uncertainty in the different stakeholders and in the different communities we engage with. Following this rejoining, we are opening a period in the coming weeks where Zegona, in fact Jose Miguel, will share and work with myself and my team the key elements of their plan, so that after a period, or after that period of several weeks, they can present to the board their ideas and for the board to consider and incorporate those into the company's plans. And I'm confident that the outcome is going to be a reinforced and improved strategic plan in terms of the priorities we will pursue in the near future. In parallel to this Zegona plan to be presented and work with the board, I will collaborate and ensure a successful onboarding of Jose Miguel in his director role. So I think that replies, that covers the three questions you have.
Thank you. The next question comes from Ivon Leal from BBVA. Please go ahead.
Hello, good morning. Thanks for taking my questions here. I've been a bit surprised on your comments on competitive pressure on the quarter. So maybe you could explain a bit more on that, and more precisely, is there a difference on competitive pressure on the different regions? The second one, is that competitive pressure coming from low-cost brands hitting the market, or rather is promotional activity from the main brands or of the major operators? Because, I mean, I think everybody has kind of announced price increases in the beginning of the year. Okay, so I would like to understand what's going on there. And actually, when I look at your residential revenues in the quarter, they're actually a bit better than what we saw last year. So it kind of, I kind of do not understand clearly. And the second one is on margins. Okay, you say first quarter is not that good because we have all these commercial expenses coming from the expansion process. I would have thought that all that commercial spending is going to take at least more than 1 year, I guess, for in order to, you know, set up operations and start gaining clients in new regions. So I don't know if you could share with us whether the improvement in the second half of the year in margins is going to come just from efficiencies, or is also, you know, lower commercial spending on new areas.
Thank you, Ivan. So covering the competitive pressure, so some of the numbers that I referred to is some of the historical data we have during last year, where we've also been having a story of price increases, not just ours, but the whole industry and so on. So if I look at the numbers of last year and I look at what the quarter-on-quarter, year-on-year evolution was, you could, and this is basically on the reports by all the companies in the market, you could see that the total revenues in Q1 grew 1.9, the total revenues in Q2 grew 0.5, in Q3 they declined 0.8, and in Q4 they declined minus 1.5. Whilst at the same time, when you looked at the number of services in terms of broadband and mobile, they basically were sustained at a level that was between a 3% growth and a 4.5% growth. So underlying some of the numbers that we tend to report in terms of what we call ARPU, that is always an ARPU that is normally convergent and with certain conditions, there is an overall loss of value in terms of, first, the market, secondly, the revenues per lines in terms of broadband, mobile, and so on. These are numbers until Q4. What we're seeing in Q1, and I think some of it has been reflected in some of the comments from some of our competitors, Q1 has seen, in some cases, a sustained or an increase in terms of the competition activities that I did mention, Vodafone. I think whilst we often react to some of the other behaviors, what I'm seeing happening in the market is that some of the new players that are growing, like the OMVs and people like MassMobil, are hitting in terms of net adds, and if you look at the portability of net adds, you will see how, for example, on broadband, there is a significant hit in the Movistar numbers, and I think if you look at mobile, there's a significant hit in both Vodafone and Orange. So I think what this is triggering is more aggressive promotions from basically a lot of the players and targeting a specific areas of the business. Normally, what we've seen in the past is that we have more resilience to this kind of offer. And I think this is something of what you've noticed in our numbers in the last quarter, and that's where our bet is sitting. But to be fair, the trend is telling us that that the price increases that are being declared do not end up showing in additional value in the market. That's the feeling that we were trying to share. And then regarding margin, Yonanda, do you want?
Yeah, related to the margins evolution, basically the impact, we have to consider that comparing only the margin in the business as usual one period and the previous, obviously our evolution in terms of relative margin has been better than 1 year ago. But it's true that we are impacted above all by two elements. The first one is the evolution that we have had during all the last year in terms of ARPU performance, that is higher, the difference between this one and the first one in 1 year later. And the second one is the additional commercial activity related to this launch of the expansion plan in the new regions, that the comparison is stronger in that period. And those elements are the most relevant on that. But it's true, and related to your question, if our competitive pressure came from the low-cost brands, no. The main pressure is in the convergent offers. The main pressure is in ARPU, based in those quadruple play customers. We are suffering more pressure on that in our high-value customers base, no? And this is the effect, because if you are suffering more in your higher ARPU customers, obviously the total impact is higher and stronger, like we are seeing in those figures.
Okay, thanks much, Yolanda.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, just a reminder, in order to ask a question, please press 01 on your telephone keypad. The next question comes from Sumit Datta from New Street Research. Please go ahead.
Hi there. Yeah, a couple of questions, please. Just going back to the new areas and the expansion, can you give a little color on where the customers you're winning are coming from? And I think, sorry, I half missed the first answer, but did you say you're not giving the split of subscriber wins by new areas and old? But even if you're not, just intrigued to know where you think those customer wins are coming from, and maybe a little bit of color on more broadly, where have you been positively surprised by the offer, and what elements of the expansion have been a bit harder than perhaps you envisaged would be interesting. And then secondly, just looking at the guidance you gave at the full year numbers, how are you thinking about that? You've talked about higher competition in the first quarter and Q2 likewise, similar financials. Yeah, just thoughts on the guidance for full year 19. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. First of all, regarding your question around the new areas and the expansion, basically, yes, we're not sharing, and in our reporting we will talk about increase overall in ads. But let me give you some texture regarding the new areas. Remember what I said, which is basically as of today, the main numbers that we're seeing do only have 1 month coming from RAC in Catalunya, from León, and from Cantabria. But basically, what we are seeing in terms of the appeal of our offer is basically the convergency. So what we are seeing is that there's a strong attractiveness to a pack that includes broadband with a high quality CPE and Wi-Fi coverage within the home, the Wi-Fi premium that we offer as a default, the new set-top box, the TV service with a new set-top box that is delivering right now NPS levels that are between 20 and 25 points higher than the legacy set-top box, combined with 1, 2, or 3 mobile. That convergent offer has been what we call in some of the regions the family packs, have been the key element where we have being able to sustain a very competitive position in price and quality of service. And that is the base and our hardcore element. That's why when we look at some of the ARPUs that are coming out from the expansion and the evolution that they're showing, these ARPUs are growing faster than what we expected. So whilst our average ARPU is 60, and we're still in promotions in most of the regions, and these are new customers, that expansion ARPU is already at the level of 45 euros. So we think that is going to contribute to ARPUs sitting between 55 and 60 euros once we go back to the full price and rate. I think regarding some of the elements that we have seen, there wasn't really any specific hard element that has been a handicap to us. Obviously, there's always the typical things when you do this kind of expansion and deployment. There is the footprint you are able to reach. So we have 10 million households via Orange. So some of these people fall out of this footprint, but in these cases, we complement with strong offers regarding mobile only, and it's been pretty successful in that sense. And the rest of operation elements are working very smoothly, both the IPTV services in all the regions, the commercialization, and so all the network of partners that we have been able to set up across Spain are working smoothly. Regarding guidance, basically, as I said, and I'll remember that the first quarter of 2019 is not a reference of the global performance we expect for the full year. Our market shares in the Basque Country, Galicia and Asturias have remained strong. The main competitive pressure and the main impact is that it's been preventing us from reaching our target of ARPU. That target of ARPU is what has resulted in a soft first quarter in terms of residential revenue. We think this ARPU is going to show an improving ramp through the year, so that's one thing that is going to be a positive trend. Then in the following quarters, what we will see is that the expansion is going to continue adding new customers, and the effect and the impact in revenue is going to start to be relevant at a quick rhythm. And that's why, because of that, we think the revenue in B2C in the year will return to growth. In B2B, 2018 was a good year, and 2019 is starting in the same direction. So it's clearly that we should have a clear growth during 2019. And then as to EBITDA, so we've seen the top line has suffered, especially in this B2C segment. On the other hand, the OPEX has evolved positively. But in this first quarter of the year, the savings coming from simplification have not been enough to compensate or maintain the growth in the EBITDA, and that's a situation we expect to change during the year. So we're tightly focused on ensuring and in the second half of the year, we deliver a recovery in revenue, and what I think is most important, that we see a material benefit from the cost savings initiatives in that second part of the year.
Okay, thank you. Maybe just a quick follow-up, if that's okay. Just on the first question, is it easy to say which operator you have typically won most subscribers from?
Yeah, I apologize because I missed your question. So the majority of our customers are coming from Movistar, and then that's probably the bulk of the majority of them, and then there's part of them coming from Orange and Vodafone, but the majority are coming from Movistar.
Okay, that's very clear. Thanks.
You're welcome.
Ladies and gentlemen, just a reminder, in order to ask a question, please press 01 on your telephone keypad. The next question comes from Nuno Matias from Haitong Bank. Please go ahead. Mr. Nuno, please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon. Just a quick question on this agreement you have signed on with MediaMarkt. I know you haven't disclosed any figures regarding what are your objectives. I think you mentioned earlier in the call that you could perhaps revisit the guidance for customer growth going forward. Is this deal something that could change significantly your expectations regarding the customer growth in your regions, because you are basically opening your operations to the whole of Spain? So just trying to understand what are the objectives, how could it change the mid to long-term guidance in terms of customer growth? Thanks.
Yes, so the agreement with MediaMarkt is it's not a tactical agreement, it's a strategic agreement. MediaMarkt is the number one supplier in terms of IT and electrical goods, and they've got a strong focus on selling services. We've seen historically some examples of companies that via strong agreements with MediaMarkt have reached significant shares at a national level in Spain. So I think we will gradually deepen the relationship, starting with the commercialization of our convergent products, starting in 15 stores in June, and then reaching out the totality of their stores in all of Spain. We will gradually be deploying more online activities with their own website and their loyalty, their database or their customer database to attract. We will be offering new services like, for example, the Apple for Life or the iPhone for Life offer. That is something that we're not offering today in the group, and it's an appealing offer. So we think we're going to deepen that relationship that is going to give us the potential that goes beyond just opening stores. It is also a first step when we think about the future, where we combine our own online approach across Spain with the idea of having some physical stores that basically covering the whole strategic geography. So whilst we're not disclosing the details, further details of plans and numbers, as you know, normally, the kind of deals with a retailer like MediaMarkt implies significant volume. So we're pretty optimistic that this is going to be a solid and strong relationship going forward.
And just as I can, as a follow-up, you've mentioned that there is a possibility of those strong volumes, but considering that you have no activity in most of the regions in Spain, if you are faced with some high demand on these regions, how can you provide the technical support? It's basically outsourcing, so it will be a full OPEX model. Is that it?
It is a full OPEX model. Everything is set up. Some of it we've learned by doing it in Barcelona. Remember that, for example, right now in Catalonia, we're already covering more than 60 different towns and villages where we are delivering the service seamlessly. And we're working with the best partners in the industry, partners that are working with the main operators and can deliver us a perfect service anywhere in Spain.
Okay, very clear. Thanks.
Thanks to you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, there are no further questions in the conference call. I now give back the floor to the company. Thank you.
Thank you very much, and thank you everyone for the attention today. Have a good rest of the day, and let's stay in touch via our IR department and myself. Thank you very much, everyone.